So this morning we looked at the invitation that Jesus gave, didn't we? Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. And we've just heard about the invitation to the great banquet. Many people said, I've made excuses. Oh, no, I'm too busy. But we don't want to do that, do we? We want to be there. Do you want to be at the great banquet?
Absolutely.
I do. Yes. And there'll be, I won't even have to worry about gluten-free, dairy-free when I get to the great banquet. That will be great. I will be able to eat pizza and all those things that I really can't eat right now. Thank you, Lord. I look forward to it. I look forward to the table full of all the things I can't eat right now. A few weeks ago, you'll remember, if you were here, that we looked at the story of Mary and Martha. We talked about the importance of taking time to sit at Jesus' feet, to learn from him, to find rest, rejuvenation, and strength for the journey of life. Today we look at Jesus' invitation to feast with him and on him, because he is the bread of life.
Hallelujah.
Now, if we go on to the next slide, there should be a quote there. This is from Len Sweet. Jesus used food to teach, heal, build communities, transform lives, and break down walls of discrimination and oppression. I thought that was a really good way of putting it. And as I was thinking about tables and food, it's a very important part of our life, isn't it, food? Yes. Jesus spent a lot of time. That quote can stay up there, Gary, that's fine. Jesus spent a lot of his time on earth eating and drinking. For Jesus, it was important to gather people around a table. And at that table, discipleship and evangelism took place. When Jesus shared meals with people, it gave him the opportunity to enter the lives of the people with whom he was eating. So it gave him the opportunity to really connect with them, to enter into their lives. He shared meals with ordinary people, important people, tax collectors and sinners, his close friends and followers. The meals Jesus shared with others were not only significant, but they were also life-changing. And I thought today that we would look at a few of the different stories that are related to meals and Jesus with meals and sharing food. So Spud's going to help me. We're going to do the first reading there, Spud, from John chapter 6.
Have everybody sit down, Jesus said to his disciples. So on the vast grassy slope, more than 5,000 hungry people sat down. Jesus then took the barley loaves and the fish and gave thanks to God. He then gave it to the disciples to distribute to the people. Miraculously, the food multiplied, with everyone eating as much as they wanted. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Come every day to me, and you will never be hungry. Believe in me, and you will never be thirsty.
Great words, aren't they? Remember the story of the people on the mountainside, they were listening to Jesus, a huge crowd of people, more than 5,000, and Jesus fed them with 2 fish and 5 loaves. That's amazing. It was an amazing miracle. So Jesus miraculously multiplied a very small amount of food that day because he wanted to satisfy the hunger of this huge crowd that were in front of him, this crowd that had come to listen to him. After witnessing this, the crowd became intrigued by Jesus, as I would have been, and they followed Jesus. When they caught up with him, Jesus engaged them in a conversation, taking an opportunity to teach a spiritual lesson. He revealed himself as the ultimate source of spiritual sustenance, the bread of life. Partaking in him through faith leads to a profound personal relationship with him. And that relationship is spiritually fulfilling and it leads to eternal life.
Hallelujah.
Jesus is the ultimate source of nourishment for the soul. He is the one who satisfies the hunger and thirst of our deepest longings. Physical food will only satisfy temporarily, but salvation through Jesus is forever.
Amen.
We're going to now listen to another story from John chapter 21.
Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there. Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the Twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." "We'll come too," they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, "Friends, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then he said, "Throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat and you'll get some." So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, jumped into the water and headed to shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 metres from shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. "Bring some of the fish you've just caught," Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. "Now come and have some breakfast," Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish.
Nothing better than breakfast on the beach. If you're anything like me, you'd love the beach, and nothing better than a nice breakfast on the beach.
I haven't had one.
Here was the resurrected Jesus, and he was preparing a meal for his friends. There's something special about that, Jesus preparing that meal for them. Jesus' friends were still hurting badly from the events of his cruel death. They were dealing with the guilt of deserting him, especially Peter, who totally denied any connection to Jesus just to save his own skin. But here was Jesus coming to them. He was coming to them even in their sinfulness. He was coming to reaffirm and show them his victory over death, and he was coming to show them that he was going to continue to care for them. It was an intimate moment of reconnection, of restoration, of healing. Healing for those he dearly loved, and in particular Peter, because if you were to continue to read, you would find that this is the passage when Jesus says to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" Yes, and Jesus says to him, "Then feed my sheep." This was a special meeting. This meeting over breakfast would mark a new beginning for Peter, a new life's work. Feed my sheep. Matthew 26.
As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take this and eat it, for this is my body." And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and said, "Each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. Mark my words, I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
another very special meal, a meal that we celebrate, that we will celebrate a bit later. Jesus told the disciples in the earlier part of this reading that he was really looking forward to this time of spending with them, this Passover meal. He was spending it with them. It was going to be his last one with them on earth, and he was really looking forward to it. As we partake in the symbolic meal of communion, we remember and reflect on the central principle of our faith, the selfless act of love and redemption of Jesus. This shared meal helps us remember that we have something in common. This shared remembrance fosters a sense of unity, and common purpose among us as believers. We share a common experience of receiving grace, forgiveness, and the assurance of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And this deepens our connection as a community centered around Christ. We are many, but we are one.
Amen.
We share the one loaf, the one bread of life. We share a common mission and a common purpose of spreading the gospel and serving others while we await for Christ's return.
Amen.
We share a common forgiveness and a common grace and assurance of salvation through Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So, as we share our meal this morning, a bit later, I pray that we'll remember that. That brings us together in unity and common purpose, because we are a forgiven people. We are one, but we are many, but we are one. And we look forward to the time when we shall all take part in that great heavenly celebration, that great party that we saw on the video. Sharing this communion meal and sharing other meals together is a great way of building relationship, and it's an important opportunity. And Jesus, as I want you to see this morning, he took these opportunities, these simple opportunities, to teach and to welcome and to make people feel like they were really accepted. So sharing meals together is an important thing. Maybe there's someone that you need to invite for dinner. Maybe there's people that you need to ask out and just spend time with them, sharing in a relationship, and maybe even sharing your story about how Jesus has saved your life. There's another quote that's going to come on the screen now. Much more happens at a meal than satisfying hunger and quenching thirst. Around the table we become family, friends, community, yes, a body. How true that is. And we think about that as a church this morning. Okay, just a couple more examples of Jesus and meals. This one's from Luke chapter 7.
One of the Pharisees asked him over for a meal. He went to the Pharisee's house and sat down at the dinner table. Just then, a woman of the village, the town harlot, having learned that Jesus was a guest in the home of the Pharisee, came with a bottle of very expensive perfume and stood at his feet, weeping, raining tears on his feet. Letting down her hair, she dried his feet, kissed them, and anointed them with the perfume. When the Pharisee, who had invited him, saw this, he said to himself, "If this man was the prophet I thought he was, he would have known what kind of woman this is, who is falling all over him." Jesus said to him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Oh, tell me." "Two men were in debt to a banker. One owed 500 silver pieces, the other 50. Neither of them could pay up, and so the banker cancelled both debts. Which of the two would be more grateful, Simon?" Simon answered, "I suppose the one who was forgiven the most." "That's right," said Jesus. Then turning to the woman, but speaking to Simon, he said, "Do you see this woman? I came to your home. You provided no water for my feet, But she rained tears on my feet and dried them with her hair. He gave me no greeting, but from the time I arrived, she hasn't quit kissing my feet. You provided nothing for freshening up, but she has soothed my feet with perfume. Impressive, isn't it? She was forgiven many, many sins, and so she is very, very grateful. If the forgiveness is minimal, the gratitude is minimal. Then he spoke to her, "I forgive your sins." That set the dinner guests talking behind his back. Who does he think he is, forgiving sins? He ignored them and said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace."
That would have been a very interesting dinner table to be at, wouldn't it? When all of that was going on. But Jesus using it as a moment of teaching. This was a really powerful, transformative encounter between Jesus and a sinful woman. She came to him, she was burdened by her sins, but she came seeking forgiveness and repentance. And what a show of repentance she had. Her tears just flowed. Through her heartfelt and moving act of love and repentance, Jesus granted her forgiveness. She was released from the weight of her sins. She found healing. Her life was changed. Her life was changed because she experienced the love, acceptance, and forgiveness of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. This encounter illustrates the transformative power of Jesus' forgiveness and grace. Encountering Jesus has a profound impact on our lives, leading to a new and transformed way of living. We will never be the same when we meet with this way, with Jesus in this way. Let's hear another story from Matthew chapter 9.
As Jesus left Capernaum, he came upon a tax collecting station where a Jewish man named Matthew was collecting taxes for the Romans. "Come, follow me," Jesus said to him. Immediately Matthew jumped up and began to follow Jesus. Jesus went to Matthew's house and made himself at home. Many other tax collectors and outcasts of society were invited to eat with Jesus and his disciples. When those known as the Pharisees saw what was happening, they were indignant and they kept asking Jesus' disciples, "Why would your master dine with such lowlifes?" When Jesus overheard this, he spoke up and said, "Healthy people don't need to see a doctor, but the sick will go for treatment." Then he added, "Now you should go and study the meaning of the verse. I want you to show mercy, not just offer me a sacrifice. For I have come to invite the outcasts of society and sinners, not those who think they are already on the right path."
Amen. Yeah, great. Once again, using an opportunity to show that welcome, everyone's welcome. Everyone's welcome to come to me. I want to sit with everybody at the table. Yes, Jesus welcomed and embraced those considered social outcasts, and he dined with them. He went to their house. He spent time with them, which was not the thing in those days. But Jesus did it because he wanted to emphasize that his ministry is grounded in love, compassion and mercy. It's not in religious rituals or exclusivity. Is that the word? That's it. Being exclusive. It's not bound in those things. It's not about following rigid religious rituals and being exclusive. He is for everybody. He prioritizes caring for the vulnerable and marginalized over upholding the social norms. He challenged their discrimination, because they were being discriminatory, weren't they? He challenged that because he wanted to include everyone, because his mission is inclusive. He's reaching out to all who are in need. of salvation, of healing. So Jesus invites everyone, all people, regardless of their past, regardless of their social status, he invites everyone to experience his love and grace. His invitation is for all, from every nationality, culture, and background. And if we were to read from Luke 13:29, we would read that people will come from the east, the west, and north and south, and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God.
Hallelujah.
Are you going to take your place there?
Glory
be. Yes, that's it. So, Spud, if you'd like to read for me those words from Isaiah, that would be great.
On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, "Surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation."
Amen. That's something we can all say, isn't it? This is the Lord. We trusted him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation.
We keep trusting him.
Yes. And I love these verses from Revelation, which I'm going to read to you, because they remind me that, yes, we are invited to the great banquet. And there will be a great banquet. And these verses are from Revelation 19. "Then I heard what seemed to be a large crowd that sounded like a roaring flood and loud thunder all mixed together. They were saying, 'Praise the Lord, our Lord God all-powerful now rules as King. So we will be glad and happy and give him praise. The wedding day of the Lamb is here and his bride is ready. She will be giving a wedding dress made of pure shining linen. The linen stands for the good things God's people have done.' Then the angel told me, 'Put this in writing. God will bless everyone who is invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb.' The angel also said, 'These things God has said are true.'" Amen. So, we are invited to the great banquet, to the wedding feast. A table's there for us. It's being prepared for us now. And there'll be a great multitude that will gather there from every corner of the world. The sound of praise to God will be thunderous. The celebration will be joyous. The finest food and drink awaits us. We will sit in the company of the Most High God. We will enjoy his fellowship and the fellowship of old friends and new friends together. We will be restored to our rightful place, living with our God. Amen.